Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hello, and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. My name is Mark Hofer, and I'm here with my fearless partner in podcastness,
Anna Wren. And so great to talk to you, Mark.
Oh, great to talk to you, Anna. Today, hopefully, we are going to talk about something that's timely, and we're going to talk about a question that I think many college consultants are asked by parents, and that's, what age should my students start to think about college and applications? I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Oh, for sure. I have. Actually, most recently I have. They're like, my kid is about to start middle school. Can we start?
My kid needs to get into preschool, and should they start thinking about college?
And ironically, we joke about that, but that is something on the East Coast, especially in New York City.
Well, and that's one of the things I think that people on the West Coast, when they hear it, and they hear about, you know, people spending $30,000 on preschool, but only after they hear, well, that's preparing before the admissions process to get into a $30,000 per year preschool.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right?
Agreed. I think one of the things that is different between kind of an East Coast perspective and a West Coast perspective is I think parents are much more interested in preparing students because they hear the competition is so intense for even preschool. So they're much more willing to entertain the idea that you should start preparing for college, you know, day one as well.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And that could be something. But, you know, I think the rays, the sun on the West Coast helps keep you guys grounded. But no, it's a great point because today we're trying to understand, like, how early is too early and what should they be preparing and when?
Well, I think some of the things when we were discussing this question, and I think in the back of my mind, I kind of split it up into two questions, and that's, you know, are you looking at college as a step in preparing for life, or are you looking at preparing for the college applications? And I think those are two slightly different things because one's a much longer term end goal than the other, but I think they're very connected. And I think when you work with students, do you, is your perspective of, it's not just preparing for college, but we're hoping that some of the things we talk about in the college application process actually pays off for later.
Absolutely. When we talk, I always say that we are not just trying to get you into college, right? Because getting into college does not define success. It means getting out of college and setting you up to be financially independent, hopefully, and also just setting you up to be a really good member of society and in your community. I think that defines success. So I think, you know, when I work with students, it's, I think I catch certain populations off guard in that it's not all about the application components, but some of the softer skills as well.
Absolutely. Everything from the handshake forward. I totally agree. And I think one of the things that you, and you just said this, and it's one of the things that I ask students and parents when I meet with them, I ask them, what's their definition of success? So after we work with each other, what would you consider success? Is it just getting into college? Or I love what you just said, where success is actually successfully graduating from college, which is also, you know, one of those things that getting into college is one step, but graduating and graduating, you know, excited about your future is a totally different critter.
No, that's true. And, you know, that's also what colleges care about too.
I agree. What do you think when colleges are interviewing and they're looking at applications and evaluating students and their transcripts, what do you think when a college says success, what is their definition?
Well, I'm going to try to be funny, but kind of serious at the same time, that you will one day be a big donor to that school.
I totally agree.
But that does kind of define success, because if you think about like some, even the rankings, right, are tied to the endowment. So, you know, if you're happy with your college experience, the idea is that you would donate. And if you are making money and you are grateful for that experience, you would donate.
I totally agree. And that's one of the things I think that people have to recognize, and they have to understand that the colleges are a business. They happen to have a bottom line that they must meet financially, but they also have usually an educational mission. So they have to meet their bottom line first financially so that they continue to be able to meet their mission. And I think if more students and parents understood that when they apply, that actually those are things that colleges have in the back of their mind when they're looking at application. And I think you are right. It's one of those things. Will this student actually graduate successful, go out into the world and be financially successful so that they can contribute back to the school? And I don't think that that's necessarily that they're not transparent about that. It's just a reality of being a business.
That's a good point. It is. And, you know, they do. And that's why I think, like, for example, demonstrated interest has taken on an increasing role because of that financial bottom line.
Yeah, the demonstrated interest is one of the things when I tell students, and I'm sure, you know, this is one of the things that I think we all try to encourage students to show, is that they've done their, you know, their research. They know what the school's about. They know the school's mission. And if they've taken the time to understand what their own personal mission is, there should be some kind of dovetail between the school's mission and their own. And I think that's one of the things, like you say, demonstrated interest. Research is part of that interest.
Yes, but I think you brought up a key point to today's discussion in terms of how well does the student know themselves?
Well, and now we circle back on the two questions. Are you preparing for life, or are you preparing for college applications? And I think that's one of the things that I think when parents ask that question, how young is too young to prepare for college or to even start thinking about? I think there's the question of how old can you cognitively and emotionally grapple with the questions that are identifying schools that are proper for you and will serve you in the right way? Or are you preparing to prepare for those questions, in that are you learning to be, you know, reflective person, and do you have self-regulation skills, and do you exhibit maturity and responsibility? So when somebody asks you, if a parent asks you, when can you prepare some of the characteristics that are going to look good on a college application, how would you field that question?
That's a great question. I think I've been telling this to some of my, the families I work with and the families that come in the door, that they have to understand, if you are just concerned about the grades and the scores, of course, your child can start preparing whenever you want them to prepare. I usually base that on their math level, though, in school. So yep. That you at least know the content, right? It's a losing game if you haven't at least taken up to Algebra 2 and pre-calc, right, to take the SAT or the ACT. But I think the other thing to keep in mind is a student who can be academically strong in this, it's not a guarantee that when you're applying to the elite schools that you're in. It's actually the opposite. It's that other question you asked before, Mark, that I stress. If you are aiming for the elite schools, the super competitive schools, especially private schools, the focus really is on how far have you developed as a person, and how ready are you, and how have you demonstrated that you're genuinely exploring your academic, personal, and professional interests. And that varies from student to student.
I totally agree. And I think we're hearing that more from admissions representatives, and they're talking about, you know, the skills that, well, the metrics, the GPAs and the test scores and the things that are quantifiable. They are seeing so many students that are coming in with incredible numbers. And so they know that that's almost the expectation. Then for, like you say, some of the private elite and low admissions percentage schools, they're having to look at that next layer of what's a definition, or what's what's hopefully an indicator of future success and potential. And so they're looking at those other things that maybe aren't quantifiable. And I think those are the things that when I'm talking with parents, I let them know, if you're practicing everything from, and I don't make light of it anymore. Things like doing a proper handshake and knowing how to conduct yourself, you know, in a mature and responsible way socially. Mm. Those are things that you can practice from, you know, the time you're starting to walk, and it doesn't have anything to deal with whether you're taking pre-calc. However, a lot of the skills that allow you to be successful academically, the self-regulation and being able to focus and being able to challenge yourself, those are the things that prepare you to be able to take pre-calc successfully when the time comes. And I think that's one of the things. You can practice a lot of those skills very early.
It's true. And I think it does come with like nurturing their interests early on, right? And I would say exploration is key. You know, there is no, I don't like when I get asked by middle school parents, oh, you know, what should we be doing now? And I say, let them explore. Now is a great time to explore what they might be interested in, because knowing what you don't like is just as important as knowing what you do like.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's that exploration, that courage to fail, being an adventurer, challenging yourself. Those are all things that I think parents can actually, you know, start doing and encouraging and supporting when kids are really young. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Anna. You've got a new daughter, and when you're having her explore the world around her, in the back of your mind, you're not thinking that's part of, you know, preparing her for success for college applications. But it actually is, isn't it?
It is, in that, like, I think I once read this article about the founder of Spanx and how her father would ask her at the dinner table, what did you fail at today? And I honestly think that's an impressive lesson to teach this generation. And I told you before, my daughter happened to fall quite a bit the past few days. Yeah. But you know what? My husband said falling is a part of life and she will learn with each fall. And for sure, I think that is preparing her to be a resilient person, which I think is really important. And also preparing her to take chances and figure out, oh, I might like this, I might not like that. And that's all something that's really important, because sometimes I'll come across people and they don't know what they want. And it's okay, because who knows what they want to do when they're like 14 or 15 years old. I'm sure there are, but it's very few. But I think what you can know is like at least be able to identify things you enjoy, things that give your life meaning. I think you can start to identify.
I totally agree. And I think Angela Duckworth, she speaks on this I mean, she's famous for talking about grit. And one of the things that in speaking with her, I've found that she really is encouraging, not necessarily grit, but it's all of the things that you're talking about, which are the perseverance, the courage to fail. And one of the things that we haven't talked about that I think colleges actually look for more and more is the reflection. And it's basically, if you failed, have you identified and reflected on how you can change either your behavior or your approach so that you're successful the next time, and making that part of a mental behavior. And if you can talk about that in a very specific and clear way, if you can communicate how you approach the world in a reflective way, I think colleges are actually looking for that, because they know that's one of those behaviors and characteristics that translates into future success.
And that's a great point. And the other thing I would say is, like, if you think about it, colleges, like I'll meet people, and I don't know if your students are working on brag sheets now too, but mine are. Yeah. And they'll like emphasize like hard work, which again is so important, right, Mark? Yeah. To be responsible and to do hard work. But the other thing you have to keep in mind is colleges are looking to build a community. And so with that, they're trying to figure out, well, what will you bring as a member of the community? And no offense, hard work is probably not one of those more impactful contributions. So I think in other ways, you have to think about like, what kind of impact are you going to have on others? And what are you doing to kind of explore that?
It's interesting you brought that up. I was recently reading about stoicism, or being stoic is the new grit. and the idea of that, why are you striving for something? Why are you looking to challenge yourself? And why do you persevere? And being able to frame that in a reflective way. And I think that's much like you're talking about. Do you have the courage and bravery to fail? That's one of those other parts of the ticket. And I think when you talk about the soft skills, and I think we're talking about some of the things that aren't necessarily identified as things that get you into college, what are some of the things that you talk with the students you work with, and possibly their parents, that are soft skills that set up looking at the world in a different way and also preparing for examples that they might use in applications?
I think honestly, the it's been in the media, but I thought about it even before it came out in the media with the Harvard lawsuit. But like compassion, courage, respect. I mean, these are important parts, I think, of a person's character that should come across. The other thing is the ability to overcome adversity. And the attitude in which you adopt it as a result of it. Because when everyone faces a difficult time, and for sure I have students that have overcome way more than I have in my lifetime. But the thing is, you would never be able to tell that that was their background story, because they are the most optimistic, bright people. And they've learned so many amazing life lessons that I would say most people don't figure out until they're 70 years old.
Yep.
So I think those are things that are good soft skills. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, the actually, when something becomes ingrained in your being and it's authentic, and like you say, it almost becomes that's what we do here, or I can't think of doing it a different way, or it's just the way I do things. That's when that authenticity really comes across, I think, in interviews and in applications. One of the things that you touched on that I think is really important, you use the word compassion. And a lot of times we talk about having empathy and being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I work with students from the African Leadership Academy in Johannesburg, and it's a leadership school that's also academic, and it's junior, senior year. But one of the main tenets of their entire curriculum is always challenge yourself to reflect and being empathetic. But they also recognize the fact being empathetic about something is one thing. Compassion is you are moved to act. You not only have empathy, but compassion is you actually have to do something about it. And I think those are very distinct things. I think we promote empathy in all the kids that we work with and we're surrounded by. But the actual action, I think, is the next step. And that's one thing I think if colleges see that shift of not only do I see somebody in their situation, but I'm willing to act on that and be a part of that community and that society. I think that's an important distinction.
That's a great point. And I think another thing is asking questions. Like students that ask really thoughtful questions, sometimes that floor me, that make me reflect too. I always think like those are some students that are ready for college because they're going to ask these questions of their professors and the students around them too, and really ask them to think about different things from a different perspective. And I think education, yes, it happens in the classroom, but it also happens over breakfast in the cafeteria as well with your classmates. So putting together a community of different students with different views, and especially ones that have passion. We talked about compassion before, but really, like, I feel like you must know when you meet people, when they have like a spark in them, it's contagious.
Yep.
And so I think that's another thing. But it's hard, I think, for students to find passion for something unless they've started exploring.
I totally agree. And that's one of you mentioned the point of asking good questions. And I think that is one of the best places to start exploring is learning how to ask good questions. I just taught a seminar on how to ask a good question. And while I think most people think, well, that's real easy, it's actually not. It's asking an intentionally good question is pretty much an art form. And it's basically, if you ask a good question, you can ask it of anyone of any age from any culture, and they feel respected in your asking them and in providing you with a response. And that's really hard to do. A good question is really hard to come up with. And that's one of those things. I think that colleges and people around you, when you ask truly good questions that are inquiring of another person's situation and valuing their input, that's, like you say, that establishes empathy in a relationship really fast.
Yes, and I feel like one of the scary things I realized about the competitiveness of high school or just school in general these days is sometimes it can kill these amazing soft qualities that students have. So I think that's another thing is like, don't let the rat race, so to speak, take away your best qualities.
Oh, I totally, that's something I think with the students that you are working with, I know that every once in a while I run into somebody who has changed from not merely competitive, but it's almost a vicious competitiveness where I need to succeed and you need to fail. And you can hear in their approach that that's how they're viewing not only college applications, but they're actually thinking of, once I get to college, I'm going to continue that. And that's what I find a little bit frightening.
And what's worse is there are some campuses that are known for that.
Oh, yeah. Although you and I have talked about this and we can name them, we'll just say that...
We won't name them.
Yeah, we won't name them, and we'll just say that they exist, and that when students are evaluating cultures of campuses, that's one thing to keep in mind.
Yes, because some kids really do thrive on that. So so we're not saying those are bad schools, but every kid is different.
Yeah, we're not saying they're bad school. It's just that might not be for everybody.
Yes. So let's talk. We talked about reflection, intellectual curiosity. What are some important other, you know, factors or skills that students can prepare for in terms of what colleges are looking for?
Oh, yeah. I think, we talked about, you know, the questions and communication skills, how to answer and how to listen. Those are, you know, incredibly powerful tools in establishing relationships. The one that I continue, you know, as a psych researcher, the one that fascinates me and continues to be something I think needs to be addressed in our society is those self-regulation skills, time management, the things that have to deal with focus. Are you able to maintain focus without, you know, being distracted? Those are learned behaviors, and I think now we tend to address any lack of focus. We quickly identify it as ADHD or another syndrome that happens to be something that has an acquired behavior that a student, you know, it's like fighting with themselves in trying to maintain focus. I think that's one of the main ones that I see students. If they can, you know, get a handle on that as early as possible, that's much to their advantage.
Yes, I would also say the ability to plan and to genuinely want to do that. I know different students some are still at the phase where mom and dad will manage their schedule for them.
Yep.
And I think part of being mature is being able to do that yourself. And not just that, but another one I think is really important that tells me whether a student is ready or not to work with me is, do you feel comfortable seeking help and advocating for yourself when necessary too, and feel comfortable talking to adults?
Well, that's the one thing. I think if parents are, you know, their champion and they have their best interest for their child, they feel like they should, you know, step in and advocate for their child in all situations. And unfortunately, as we know, if a student hasn't had the chance to practice self-advocacy and be their own champion, they're not going to learn it overnight. And it becomes more difficult the older you get. So I'm with you. Let's have them, you know, start it as early as possible.
Yes. And, you know, and not be afraid to challenge people too. I think that was something I really discovered when I got to college, was that you can actually challenge your teachers. Oh, and sometimes it's welcomed, depending on how you do it. So, you know, being able to, you know, think beyond, and that can be a contribution in its own way as well.
I totally agree. And having been an educator, I like students to challenge me. And one of the things that is another learned skill in that, and it's a soft skill, is the art of challenging respectfully and responsibly and with evidence. And it's almost a negotiation of, can we look at this in a different way? And I think any student who does that effectively, in a respectful way, is gaining the respect of not only the other students around them, but also of the educator that they're having the discourse with. And I think that is an incredibly valuable tool that is not only for education, it's for life.
It's true. Let's see, what else is important? I think we often talk about it, but being able to build a family, and that doesn't mean not waiting until you get to college, but like, you know, I'll talk to students and as we're building the list, right? I'll often ask now, like, have you lived away from home before without your family, without your friends, without your support network nearby? And how did that go?
For sure.
Because, you know, that will help determine how far you're willing to go. And, you know, most of the times kids do live on campus. And so, you know, how comfortable do you feel kind of diving in into that new environment, knowing that your support network is not right there with you?
I actually challenge students. I ask them, I say, who is your support system now? How did they come about? And then I ask them, you're going to be asked to go to a completely different environment. Who is going to be your support system and how are you going to develop them? And basically have them work through that, because I think it's disingenuous to throw somebody into a completely different environment without the skills on how to ask for help and who to ask. And then, you know, expect them to be successful. So I'm with you. How we can have them look through that process and learn it earlier the better, I think is to their advantage.
How do you think, you know, we've kind of talked about a lot of the skills that, you know, are important: maturity, responsibility, reflection, regulation, curiosity, being nice, empathy, compassion. Yeah. But how are these skills supposed to be developed in kids?
Well, and that's one of the things. And as you know, I'm not a parent, but I have thousands of children, students that I've worked with over the years. And I think one of those interesting things about working with young people is putting them in situations where they have the opportunity, like you say, to fail, or challenging in them in such a way that they are pushed beyond their comfort just enough to where they're actually able to exercise bravery and courage and know that if they do fail, they have the tools to be able to reflect on how come they may have not been successful, what they learned from it, and also know that their support system, like we just talked about, is there for them when they need it and that they can reach out. I think those are all the things that we hope that students are challenged with in their environment by not only teachers, but by, you know, coaches and by their parents as well.
Yes. And I think you also brought up a point in terms of, like, we want to prepare students for life, right? So there are some skills that are really important in the workforce. Do you want to go through a few of them?
Oh, well, you know that I've actually, you know, I've hired students, I've hired them in college, I've hired them from high schools to actually work in industry, in aerospace. And there are definitely some things that you look for, some characteristics and qualities and behaviors that are paramount in making that transition from academia to the work environment. And much of them are the ones that you're talking about, but some of them are really simple, and it's those that I don't think students think about. Actually saying please and thank you, a good handshake. One of the ones that I kid people about after I've hired them is I watch to see if they open the door and hold it open for the people that come behind them. Those are all indicators of, you know, being aware of the world around you and social graces. And those are little things that you pick up socially that you have to practice. And I think if you don't realize it and you don't have somebody who helps you along those ways, it can come back to, you know, bite you.
Yes. You're, and you know, why that matters is if you think about different companies also have culture and schools have culture, right?
Yes.
So in order to make the company a nice place for everyone to work, these social graces are important. I know, for example, that, you know, you like where I used to work, right? I used to work in a few different places, but you know, using please and thank you and holding doors, that's really important. And someone who is able to communicate effectively, and I would say concisely at that, because I think being aware of other people's time is really important as well. You know, that can really, you know, set you apart from other people. And I remember when I was in corporate, someone told me, they're like, people are never fired for poor performance. It usually has to do with a character flaw.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it. You really have to underperform to get fired, but you know, you can underperform socially just a little bit and it can get you out the door.
Yes, absolutely. And I've realized that they won't usually fire anyone that's likable. Just like if you went to a physician, yeah, and they messed up, I hope they don't, but if they messed up on something, you wouldn't sue them if you like them.
Exactly. Yeah. That's an even more important reason why to have people like you and build strong relationships is so they don't sue you. I like that. I think that's it's a certain standard that you have to hit.
These life skills we're teaching everybody.
Exactly.
So finally, what is really important in terms of how or when should they start preparing? What age?
Well, and that's, and now we're cycling back on what age are the things that are indicators that you would use and that I use, and I think parents should use to identify when is their child ready to consider all the things that have to do with college applications and admissions, like intellectually, socially, cognitively, all of those things. What are some of the indicators? I think you mentioned one that I actually use. I hate to admit it, but level of math competency. It's actually one of those things that really has to do with, are you ready to take the PSAT and the SAT? Can you actually get your head around the questions that are going to be asked? That's one indicator. Are there others that you use?
That one I definitely use for testing. And I actually, so that it varies. Cause like some people say, oh, take the test junior year. Some say take it freshman year. It depends on the math. Cause I don't want them so far along in the math that they've forgotten like algebra, for example,
yep,
or geometry that's going to be tested. But other than that, I mean, that's one thing, but I think it's those soft skills. If you're ready to have those conversations, and I'll always meet with, future clients before working with them, to see if they are ready, right? But if you were to actually talk about how long does it take to prep, I think we can talk about that and go backwards, like you say, right? If deadlines are usually Jan 1, well, early deadlines are November 1, right?
Right.
So each step, right, and you can kind of go through it, takes a few months. So, you know, while you can squeeze the college admissions process into 6 months time, that's probably going to be a bit stressful.
Agreed. And that's one of the things that I think we like to explain to parents. Hopefully one of the reasons that they're seeking our help is to reduce the stress that students are going to have, open up the timeline and the runway to the application deadline, and be able to dole out in a systematic and intentional way certain benchmarks and certain deadlines to work towards, so that you're not so stressed out of your mind in your junior year, or even worse, the beginning of your senior year. And I think that's one of the things, like you say, you can do it in 6 months, and we, you know, we can outline, you know, it takes a month to do an essay if you really buckle down and hammer hard at it, and you have the luxury of somebody to provide you with proofing and suggestions. But do you want to? It's much more fun, and I think the end product of an essay is better if you take 6 months and do it slowly and very intentionally. How about you?
That's a great point. And I would say even more than that personal essay, the research essays, like the why do you want to come to our school essays, they take a lot of time. And I think that's something you can do when you're building and narrowing down your list. And so when people come and they say, oh, can you build a list? Yeah, absolutely. We can help build a list. And even, you know, colleagues and I will say it takes hours to build a list based on what the students' preferences are and interests. But then it takes months usually for a student to help narrow down that list through the research they've done.
Totally agree. And I think one of the things that I've found over time is if you put the called front loading and basically put the amount of time that you spend on building a good foundation so you can answer all of those essay questions and the school questions and the preferences early. One of the first things, and I use this as an indicator, is a student emotionally and socially and cognitively mature enough to be able to enter into this process. I ask them a really simple question, but it's hard for a lot of students because they haven't had the reflection practice, and that's, why do you want to go to college and what do you want to learn there? If you can really answer those questions authentically and personally without, you know, pulling in all of the baloney about, oh, it's socially expected of me or any of that, but why do you want to go to college? If you can answer that question, it drives the colleges you look for. It can actually be your essay on why you're looking at a particular college. So those are two of the indicators I use. Do you know why you want to go to college and what you want to learn? And that's not necessarily, do you know what your major is and do you know what your profession is going to be for the rest of your life? Because those are two very different questions.
That's very true. But it's something I do have my students entertain as well as, you know, while I'm not preparing you for a job necessarily, I want you to at least think about what your future might look like, because there's a good chance you're not moving home after college and you have to support yourself. So you should really think about the choices you're making and how it leads up to that. So that is something I do emphasize, for example, ROI, and I want them to be mature. About and not thinking that money grows on trees.
Well, I actually had a very self-aware, very intelligent student the other day ask me point blank. They said, "No, really, Mark. Now, why are you asking me this question? What is your end goal?" Because they know I try to think long term. Oh, really? You really want to know what my end goal is? And they said, yeah, why are you asking me these questions? And why is it important that I ask them of myself? And I said, well, so that you're a good parent when the time comes. And oh boy, did that throw him a curveball. That was totally not what he was expecting. And I said, you know, yeah, I want you to get into college and have a successful college career. And if we're some of the things that we talk about actually allow you to do that, that's great. But I said, you know, some of these things, hopefully you'll teach to your kids. And I don't think that was actually what he was expecting to hear. So it was fun to watch a teenager look at, what do you mean parent? Yeah. So.
No, that's a great question. I had a student recently ask me well, when they walked in, they were talking to me and they were definitely very aware and had done their research, even on college admissions consulting. Yeah. And she had said, you know, I just don't trust you guys. I feel like you guys prey on fear. And I said, and I was very refreshed listening to her speak. And I said, you know, the media definitely makes it sound terrible. And I said, but the truth is most of us barely break even. We don't do it for the money.
Well, that's the thing. I actually last night was meeting with a new family and I made the comment. I said, I have to let you know some of this. I'm an educator and I actually believe education is somewhat self-serving and that I want you to prepare. I want to prepare you for college, yes, but I want to prepare you for life. And more importantly, I want you to make good voting decisions because those affect me. And I think that is part of the reason why I think a lot of people, you know, help students in their education prospects.
They do. They do. They really want... They believe in the future and I think the next generation being the future and having you guys think really deeply. And so I think when we talk about when is a student, when is it too early in some ways. I know I had a student I met as an eighth grader. And at the time when I spoke with him, I was like floored by like just the questions he would ask me. Like he would stump me sometimes.
Yep.
And as a former interviewer, I said, oh my gosh, this kid is really going to make an impression on someone.
Yep.
And I think one of the disheartening things is the rat race of admissions has kind of like slowly eaten away at that. Where he's focused on those scores and what his peers did. And I'm like, no, you hold on to what's special about you.
Yep.
You know, you are doing the best you can. And it's not everything. Those grades, the GPA, it's not everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing is I would say preserve those amazing qualities that you have.
Yeah, you almost look at a student like that and say, "Who took the luster off my pearl?" You know, bring the luster back. And I think you're right. I think part of the insanity of the pressure that we're putting on kids, and the college application process is a perfect example of what I think we've missed sight of the long term prospects of why we're educating children in the first place. And hopefully why they're going to college at all is, you know, that we set them up for success and happiness, not only personally, but as a community and part of a community representative. And I don't know if a parent challenged me on preying on fear, I definitely would have a different opinion for sure.
But ironically, it wasn't a parent. It was the student.
Oh, didn't catch that.
Yeah, there was no, the parent had left the room because this student is very independent. And yeah. I was just like so refreshed. I was like, wow, I really am impressed with how much research you've done.
Yeah.
And you know what you're working and not being afraid to ask confrontational questions. I think that indicates something about them too.
I totally agree. So one question for you.
Okay.
And I've had this happen where a parent is adamant that their child starts working with you on the college application process, but you realize they are not there socially, emotionally, they're not ready for some of entertaining some of these questions. How have you entertained that response with a parent?
Oh, that's a really tough question. Is it? It's really based on their emotional development, correct? Not on their age, because you can't really tell based on their age,
right? And as we know, there are eighth graders who are every bit as prepared to, you know, identify and answer some of these reflective questions that are actually quite mature in their foundation. But we also know juniors and seniors who aren't prepared yet either. So, you know. Mm-hmm. How do you make that dance work in letting parents know that they're not ready to entertain some of these questions or possibly not ready for college?
I think we talk about, I typically give them resources after we meet. And it's usually some books to read or some different activities. And like, for example, I believe in journaling. I believe in, like, for example, there's the book, like, What Color is Your Parachute?
Yep.
And I like the book by Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers, yep. Depending on what they're struggling with.
Yeah.
And having the child understand, you know, what is success and, you know, how does that come about? And I think after those exercises, I'll say, you know, we can revisit afterwards. But I usually give them a few resources for exploration first.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I there's a number of books that I reference. And I mean, one of the ones I like to reference is Where Do You Go to College Is Not Who You Are. That one talks about, you know, and I think that would be a good one for any student who is saying that, you know, we're preying on the fear of the college admissions process. I think that would actually set kind of a different illustration of the process. One that I recommend to a lot of parents is a book called Ready, Willing, and Able. And it's it talks about the developmental approach to college and success. That one is definitely one that I think parents appreciate. It describes a lot of the things we've talked about in this particular podcast, and those are things that prepare a student so that they're ready for the college application process when it comes.
Yes, and I have one final question for you, Mark.
Okay.
What do you think is the worst thing that can happen if a student is too young?
Oh,
to start.
Right. So, and I've actually inherited some students who have started the process too young, and they became frustrated, and they became anxious about the whole process because they weren't, you know, psychologically or emotionally prepared for the size and numbers of schools and the complexity of the questions and all of the variables that have to be considered. They approached that too early, and they became way too standoffish and anxious about the whole process when they actually were ready. And I think that's the big thing. If you start too early and it becomes a challenge that is too big and too onerous, I think a student can actually get turned off of the whole process. And that's not what we want. We want them to be excited.
Yes, I often like to say, I don't think of myself as a teacher. I'm your partner. And I would also agree. They do, I think, become really frustrated. And I almost feel like they shut down and they tune out. So I think for parents that are considering, oh, when do I start? Sometimes too young is not good either.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's one of those things where I think there are parents who actually are asking their children, you know, when they're approaching high school, they're starting to ask them questions that have to deal with college. Have you thought about, and have you considered where you might want to go to college or areas? And I think some of those probing, really gentle questions that talk about, have you considered, those, their answers can provide them with some pretty good guides on whether they're ready for those kind of conversations.
Yes. This has been great, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna. You're only about a decade away from having these conversations with your daughter. So.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you. So, thank you for the conversation. This was fun. This is one of those ones that hopefully is as helpful for parents as it is for students.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.